This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Twin, everyone. And I have Brittany this morning with me. And we're going to talk about letting creativity be a guide. And Brittany has written a book, which we'll mention. And I'm going to let Miss Brittany take it away.
Well, thank you, Wynn, for having me on your podcast. I am so thrilled to be here. I know that you and I, prior to getting on this call, have talked about creativity in the process of creativity, to actually get to a place where you have something tangible. Like, I know, Wynn, that you do art, you have several books, and so I think that you can probably understand some of the things that I'm about to say about the creative process. So currently, right now, I just came out with my first book, and it's called No Water for the Desert. And it's about a young 19-year-old who's basically trying to find her way through life. She has so many different things and barriers and challenges she has to overcome, you know, to become the woman she wants to be. So that's my little, like, I don't know, 15 to 20 second plug for my book. But one thing I want your audience to know is that I published this independently. So that means to me that there's a little different creative process that also has to take place when you're deciding to come out with your own work without, you know, a ton of help from like a traditional publisher. Yeah. Yes. So, and maybe when you could even speak to that, because I know the books you have out, and I read I Win, and maybe, you know, you might have something to say about that. But real quickly, my process took me 10 years to write this book. And you might say, well, why on God's green earth would it take you 10 years? And one of the main reasons is because it took me a long time to say what I wanted to say. And in my book, there is a lot of trauma. There's a lot of a non-understanding of trauma at that time, which is also painful to me, because I should mention that this book is inspired by my life at age 19. It isn't an autobiography, but it is inspired by that. And it has true aspects of abuse, true aspects of trauma, true aspects of control and manipulation, true aspects of betrayal. And so when I got to a point where I was like, you know, I think I have to tell the story. I knew I had to tell it, but I got scared. And I think being afraid and being scared is actually a guide to creativity, because nobody wants to hear a story where everything is just perfect.
No one wants to hear a story where everything is perfect. And that's how I did I Comma Win, the book originally that came out by me. And so no one wants to hear a story that is perfect. And for National Novel Writing Month, which begins November 1, which would have been my dad's 69th birthday, believe it or not, I am actually doing a novel on lung cancer, because that's what my dad was diagnosed with, and he went into cardiac arrest. And so I have this book in the idea stage, and then I'm hopefully writing another one in the next couple of years here, because this has, my life challenges have sparked more creativity than I know what to do with. So it's going to be pretty interesting in the next couple of years and what I come out with and what I come up with. But as I said, for National Novel Writing Month this year, I'm actually doing a novel based upon lung cancer and lung cancer awareness, because you get so many breast cancer awareness survivors, and you get cancer underneath the sun, but people honestly forget about lung cancer and how devastating it is. And it was devastating to me as a witness to watch my dad suffer, and he didn't even know he had it until he was diagnosed with it at a bigger hospital down in Denver, Colorado. And so if we caught it at the beginning, like you're supposed to, yeah, totally different story. But since we caught it at stage four, there's nothing that we could have done. And so that's what I'm doing for National Novel Writing Month, is doing a novel based on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just thinking about your story and thinking not just about your story, but the reality. You know, I know your father passed very recently. So I would imagine that you are raw, you know, right now. And I think that you can, I mean, I've just put that on you. I'm not sure how you feel, Lynn, but like, I think that the sensitivity of how you feel can actually drive the quality of the writing that you have. You know?
No, and I believe it. No, and I'm at my lowest state right now, and probably in National Novel Writing Month, I'll be even at my true writing format, because this just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was working on another book while he was in the hospital, which is slowly but surely coming out, and it's going to be a interesting novel because it's based on mystery, and it's going to send people in a direction that they haven't seen from me. And then I have another book, you guys, coming out in December about Kate Spade's suicide and her suicide and raising suicidal awareness. So I think I was trying to do that one as a creative project on the side, but that one turned into let's raise awareness about suicide. And so that one is definitely coming out in December, you guys, and I'll be able to share more information about that as soon as I get it. But I think creativity as a guide, and you guys don't think I'm nuts, I have more creativity now than I did after my mom died, because I lost her in 2010. And when I did I Come a Win, it just was something I had to do. And like Brittany, it's like when you have a story on your heart, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Because when it gets to a point where you decide you're not going to do it, and the anxiety and pain and the, I guess, maybe even disappointment within yourself, you know, that can make you say, you know what, okay, I'll be better with myself if I just tell the truth. And I was talking to someone, Lynn, who really wants to do like an expose on her family, but she wants to do it through like an autobiography lens. And she is so fearful of what her family will say. And this is a lady who is 78 years old. She's just terrified. And she, you know, she wants me to work with her to write the book. But, you know, somehow I've got to help her to get out of the, I'm so afraid that people will, you know, my family will feel negatively towards me. And that is not easy. The book that I have definitely exposes, it definitely exposes my family members. And at this point, I would say that my mother's in the book, but she's a fictional character. When I talk to her about, hey, mom, I'm writing this book and you are in it, and you know that you will not be portrayed in a positive light. Like, you know that. Look, we don't even have to go back and forth with that. And my mom, she's like, okay, I'm good. I'm not going to read your book. That's what she said. I'm not going to read your book, you know, and if I do, I'm going to write a counter book. See, because that's kind of her mindset. But, you know, but everybody else in the family has read it and have been okay with it. But my mother is the biggest villain, at least according to me, because one thing I found out when is that while I think she's a villain, a lot of the readers don't find her, don't see her in that way. So, you know, sometimes you have to make a deal with the people in your family or whoever it is you're afraid is going to say this or that. I mean, one of the things when is, and maybe you could get in on this one, which is do you tell the people who you are writing about in not the best light? You know, how do you deal with that? And in my case, I never like actually came out with the let's sit down and have a conversation about you being in the book. I was just kind of like, you can read it. And I'm not at all saying that I had the right approach when or that I have the right approach, but families are going to be different. You know, there's no straight shot to what you should say to each of your family members or whoever it is that you feel like you're about to go in on them in their book a little bit. So I don't know if you, what your experience has been.
Well, Brittany, I was the exact same way with I Come a Win. Because it was my story, I let my dad read the galley copy. And so I said, read it, take what you need from it. But I'm not sitting down and having a heart to heart with you because my work is my work. And so if I definitely agree with you, if they don't like how you're portraying them in the book, they don't have to read it and they don't have to support it because all work is a work. So we as artists and authors have to have a very tough skin. And luckily I have a very tough skin and it sounds like you have a very tough skin, but I'm not having a heart to heart with you about said book because it's going to be my work. I'm not going to have a heart to heart with you about I Come a Win or any of my other books because it's going to be my work and I'll leave it as is.
Yeah, because I do think this is just me speaking about my personal situation. If I had sat down with every one of my family members and said, well, here's how you're going to be, you know, portrayed, then it would be a battle in my family. No, don't you portray me like that. Don't you? Don't. And the thing is, like you said, it's my work. And since we're talking about vulnerability, when we're not just talking about vulnerability of ourselves, we're talking about the vulnerabilities of the characters who are real people who are now put out on Front Street. And that is not easy, you know, and as much as I'd like to be like, oh, you know, forget them. That's part of the reason it took me 10 years. That's why it took me 20 versions of doing this because me, you know, as I'm doing all this stuff over 10 years, I'm working through my fear. I'm working through learning to be powerful and not have those people who have abused me in the book, you know, have any sort of influence over what I might say. Because that's the thing. If you sit down with someone and you're not totally sure how you feel and you're working through, you know, to a place where you can write your book, you might find yourself even more sensitive and not wanting to hurt them. And it isn't about hurting people, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I could see if I sat down with my mom and said, this is how you'd be portrayed. Oh my gosh, would we be in a legal battle? Like, or something, you know, because that's how my mom is. She's very combative.
Exactly. I am. Either my family supports my work or they don't. And I'll get into why my family doesn't support my work. They used to, but I'll get into why my family doesn't support my work as of September 12th, but that's fine. If my family doesn't want to support my work, they will support me in other ways. And if my family realizes that I do have 9 books and I'm a published author and want to be a published author full time, that is another huge announcement in itself. But I just feel like we shouldn't have a battle of the wills here with our family and creativity.
Yeah. So listeners, just know that Wynn and I, we've gotten really strong, but it just didn't naturally happen. You know what I mean? It's for me, it has been a continual, I don't want to use the word fight, but you know, this internal, like, okay, are you going to be brave? Okay. Are you going to tell the honest story? Okay. What are you going to do? You know, and there's always an internal dialogue that's happening when creativity is taking place. Because, like, you know, just to underscore what we already said, nobody wants to hear a sanitized story. Nobody does. You don't want to, you know, I don't want to hear one. When you don't want to hear one. Listeners, you don't want to hear one. So you have to get to a place where you can just be honest, you know?
Yes, be honest with yourself. Be honest with your fan base. Be honest with your family and have them take it or leave it. And leave a review, or don't leave a review on Amazon of your book, but just don't have battle of wills with your family. And that's why I decided to become a fiction novelist, because it's a little bit easier on me when you're writing fictional characters. And then in autobiography, I'm terrible at writing autobiographies on me, because people have said to me over the years, and I've been doing this for 9 years, and I've been selling books for 9 years. And so people have said to me over the years that when you're a better novelist than you are a memoirist. And so that's why I'm trying to focus on women's fiction, young adult, and a little bit of mystery thrown in there for good measure. But I just feel like it's easier to do novels than it is autobiographies, because that means you don't have battle of the wills with your family members.
Yeah, I agree, but mine is so thinly veiled that they know exactly who they are. And I'll give another really quick example. When my dad read one of the versions of the book, he was barely in the book, but the part that I had was just like, basically, he's not present, he hasn't been present, and he hasn't been doing a good job as a father. And it literally was like one paragraph. And he read it. He was, at least to me, he was not upset, but he was a little bit flabbergasted, because in his mind, he's like, I was a good father. I was these things. And in my mind, I'm like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. But he didn't get caught in it, at least as he has presented himself to me. He has not got caught in it. I think that he's proud of the fact that I wrote a book and that it's been published. And I feel like my sisters, I have 3 older sisters, and I do apologize because a plane is flying overhead, but I have 3 older sisters. They are not portrayed in the best light, you know, but they seem to be cheerleaders. But what I have noticed when is only one of the 3 sisters have actually read it.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And so it's interesting, like, how it's like, we'll leave you, but, you know.
That's interesting. No, and bless my dad's heart. He was more supportive of my books than my stepmom ever will be. And maybe that's because he knew the blood, sweat, and tears I put into my books. But honestly, he talked to one of his nurses when he was in the hospital here at our local hospital here. And one of his nurses actually followed me online by the time I got, I wasn't halfway in the door, you guys. By the time I got in the door, he goes, "Wynn, this is Kathy." And Kathy's taking care of me. And Kathy goes, "Wynn, I know you because I follow you online. And I want to buy one of your books." Well, what I did was I had a copy at my house. And I said to my stepsister, "Please hand this to Kathy when you pick my dad up." Because I wanted her to have a copy of my book. And so it's interesting how people can be supportive of your books or they just shy away from your books. I have been really, really lucky to make income from the beginning off my books. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting how family either supports your books full on or they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. Absolutely. And I think, like, as a new indie author, it goes, like, beyond just the family. It's interesting who picks up your book and who doesn't. And what I also found, when, and I'm not sure what this is about, I have good friends, but they have not read the book. And, so, you know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm a friendship. And then I find other people who seem rather random to me were like, yeah, I got your book. I'm really excited. And so I've been curious about that dynamic as well, like what that is about. And I don't know what it is about. And to be honest, that's one place that I haven't gone with my friends. As long as we're talking about vulnerability here, I have not gone to my friends and go, why haven't you picked up my book? You know, like, that's just a question that for some reason, I do not want to ask. Maybe because I do not want to hear the answer.
Yeah, maybe it's because you don't want to hear the answer. But as I said to you guys, you need to have a thick enough skin to do this work. And you need to let creativity be a guide. You can't be battle-willed with your own family. And you need to... How do I put this? You need to tread lightly when it comes to your family, and you need to decide whether it's going to be in your book or not. And you also need to decide, is this book going to be a novel or is this book going to be an autobiography? Because if it's an autobiography, you're in a totally different ball game. And if it's a novel, it's going to be easy on your heart because you can actually portray the characters how you want them portrayed. Whereas autobiography is fact, fact, fact. And luckily, I decided after releasing three autobiographies, I come a win. Mosaic of CP and she is CP. I am going to be a complete novelist because novel writing is my complete calling. I am even considering going back to school for novel writing. I don't know if you guys heard the announcement on my other podcast, but I am taking a semester off and not fighting with fashion journalism anymore. And I'm going to go back to school for my true calling. I found a wonderful program that emphasizes in nonfiction writing. And I will still be a journalist, but I will be a writer through and through.
Well, I just want to say congratulations to you. And just kind of keeping on our subject of vulnerability, you're taking leaps and bounds. You're doing things that a lot of people struggle with even confronting, you know, and knowing, hey, this is my calling, okay? I need to act on my calling, Okay. So what does that look like when I ask them my calling? Is that I'm going to become a full-time novelist, like you said? I'm going to go to school? Whatever it is, the things that you're doing, I think are really crucial to the other art that you're going to produce, meaning the other novels that you just spoke about, you know, the one about suicide, the one about lung cancer. Like, you're doing this stuff, and hopefully it's going to make your novel writing and the what you produce that much stronger. So, I mean, hats off to you, Wynn. Hats off to you. And, you know, one of the things I'll say about myself and the creative process of making a book is I got a lot of pressure. I would say a lot of pressure, but there's a good amount of people who don't believe in indie authors, you know, and the book. And I've heard from family members, you need to go the traditional route, you know, as if that's like the cream of the crop, you know, to go that route.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took some courage within me because I was like, well, maybe they're right. You know, the self-doubt does creep up like every place that you're going in your life, the self-doubt sometimes, you know, and I'm like, maybe I should do that. And the truth is, I don't want to do it. So I didn't do it. And so I'm happy with, you know, what I have. And when I think, you know, how you and I connected was this process of, I mean, this little clip of me opening my book, my paper back book for the first time. I think you saw it or Danielle saw it. But that, like, for me to get to that place and be like, this is my book, I mean, it's without words. And I don't know if you feel that way about your own work and, you know, why you decided to go indie or not indie, you know, but yeah, I mean, leaps and bounds to, like, reach your dream.
I decided to go indie because publishing houses, and they're still not taking, publishing houses will not take memoirs. So I, and trust me, I looked. And so I decided to go indie to have more creative control.
Yeah. That, when that is the exact reason. I was like, maybe I won't sell as many books, but, you know, when I look at my work and I see where I put every single thing, and that doesn't mean that I didn't have beta readers. I didn't have, you know, I did have those things, but ultimately I was the decision maker. And to me, I don't know if this happens a lot in traditional publishing, Wynn, but, like, you know, do the authors walk away sometimes and go, you know, maybe I gave a little bit too much control away? I was always kind of like, if that's the case, let me do indie, because at the end of the day, I'm going to feel happier. And so far, it's true. Do you sell a whole bunch of books? But I don't even know that most authors sell a whole bunch of books, you know? So I don't know. But that was my decision to go indie, because I wanted to keep my words where I wanted to keep my words.
Now, Brittany, as we tie this interview up, where can people find you? Of course, where can people find the book, and where could people get a hold of you if they wanted to reach out to you to come to a book club or do any public appearances based on the book?
Oh, thank you, Wynn, for asking that and letting me have a moment to say what's going on. One of my recent wins, outside of this Wynn podcast that I'm doing right now, is a book club did pick up my book and say that they're going to read it for their next book club. So I am happy and excited, and I'm willing to do that for any of your readers that, you know, we can get together on a book club. So, in terms of my novel, it's called No Water for the Desert, and you can get it on Amazon. There's an ebook version. There's a paperback version. I spend a lot of time twiddling on Twitter, so my handle is at Evia Inez, so that's at EVIAINEZ. And if anybody wants to email me, you can either go through my website, which is brittanybuckner.com. So that's B as in boy, B as in boy, RITTANY, Buckner, B as in boy, UCKNER.com. And then, of course, my last but not least is my my email address, which is B as in boy, Buckner. I'm forgetting that. So that's BrittBuck4@gmail.com. So okay. Those are all the ways. And I hope, you know, I can connect with some of your listeners on this.
And we will put all of Wendy's information in the show notes. And please, 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 this is my final PSA as we end this interview. Please go support independent published authors. Independent published authors will always be around. And please go support the traditional published authors. I just picked up Stolen Things by Rachel Harrington. That is a traditional published book, but Rachel Harrington also believes on the indie side for her romance. You can hear her podcast interview way back in the archives, well, recently, in the archives. That was recorded August 12th, so you can hear about that book on August 12th, Stolen Things, and it's a really good book, but please, whatever you do, support independent published authors. We're here to stick around, and we're not with the big guys, as Wendy and I mentioned, so please, please support us, and please leave a review for your favorite independent published author, and please go follow us on Amazon so you can be alerted when we have new work out. And I appreciate you guys for sticking around and sticking with me on this long journey, and it's not over yet. And so you guys will find out more about me on September 13th on A Diary of a Fashionista when we do a double episode for Ask When and A Diary of a Fashionista. But my journey is not over yet, and I will be publishing more books to come. But please support independent published authors, and I appreciate your support along with all the other independent published authors out there, including Whitney. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, listeners.